The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Beauty Bosses. This is Jordan, and today we're going to be talking with Ramona and Lynn, the owners of the Spapreneur podcast. They are a community to help independent spa owners grow, scale, and succeed in their business. Ramona and Lynn have actually ran a salon for over 20 years, and they are here today to open up their playbooks and reveal how every female entrepreneur can keep their sanity while using marketing strategies that actually work. So let's go ahead and jump right into this interview. I just want to introduce Ramona and Lynn. So they are owners of the Spapreneur podcast. So I was actually just listening to them. You guys were cracking me up over there. If anyone who hasn't, you know who you are, you can go. Where can they find you guys? Where's most of your traffic come from the podcast, at least?
Probably Apple Podcasts, of course. We're on all the major podcasts. So if you have an Android phone, Google has apps you can use. You can also go on spapreneur.com and listen to us there. So
awesome. Perfect. So today we kind of just wanted to talk about growing, scaling, and marketing for your beauty business tips and tricks. You know, I think you guys are real suited as far as the higher level, not necessarily people who maybe people who are just starting out, but I think really your niche is really the people who are really looking to take things to the next level and mm-hmm. be more of an operator in the business. And so I think that'll serve a lot of value, because that's hard to come by in the beauty industry, especially is, you know, insight from people who've actually done it and accomplished it, right? And you guys have, you ran a salon for over 20 years, is that correct?
23, and it's still going.
Awesome.
Yeah, as of today, it's still going. We never know by the end of the week.
Perfect. Awesome. And you guys, the whole point of your podcast is that you really like open up your playbooks about the tips, tricks, and secrets that every female entrepreneur really, you know, needs to shortcut the success.
Well, what we do is we put the reality of it out there. Yeah. You know, we're not whitewashing this and telling you you're going to make $300,000 in the first year. That's bullshit.
You're not going to make that probably in the first 10 years, to be honest with you. I mean, it's hard work running a business, especially if you're the one actually doing the services.
And people skills, oh my God, you got to have people skills.
Because you have like many kinds of clients. You have the clients.
Oh, hell, I wasn't talking about the clients. I was talking about the workers.
Well, they're kind of technically a client, though. If they're partnering with you, you kind of have to, depends. Yeah. But you have to go, okay, baby, it's okay, baby. It's
like
okay.
Right now, we're doing this interview.
Yeah.
And before you showed up, one of my girls on the front desk is texting me, hey, are you coming in today? I wrote her back.
That's always dangerous.
Why? I'd like to talk to you. Now, I happen to know the spa director's not there. So why you be wanting to talk to me? Okay? So what's up now? So now my mind's whirling, going, oh, shit. Yeah. You got to put the big girl pants on.
Yeah.
Funny. And so you guys, I guess let's start maybe right there. What do you guys think? You were talking about probably the hardest part is people you work with, right? I mean,
oh, God. Every business owner. Everyone will tell you the same thing, that if I didn't have to have employees, my business would be perfect.
It's really like people want to get to where we are, which again, just give a little background, guys.
She's got a drink, you got to take Xanax,
or we're both on it. And regular therapy. Seriously, no. She started one room, and now 23 years later, we have a 4,000 square foot day spa. So we primarily focus on massage therapy, skincare, and natural nails and waxing. And there are some days where I think I would much rather you have just the one room.
Today, I'm thinking, when should I sell this business? Shouldn't I sell this business?
Yeah, and it just...
Aren't I getting too old for this shit?
No.
You might be bleeping a lot, by the way. We cuss a lot.
We do. So if you guys have kids in the room, you might as well just scoot them out.
Kick them out, right? Yeah. Well, are you right now, I guess, what does it really take as far as like setting goals for yourself at the level that you guys are at with the spa itself? Before we kind of, I'd like to obviously get more into your guys' background and stuff, but like, I think, you know, while we're on the topic, like what do you do to really, like you're just talking about, you know, you're at such a level where, man, like, you know, it's just like kind of more of a point where you've been through so much that now you're just kind of like,
you know, what's next? You know, do you set goals? Do you set targets for yourself at that point?
Yes and no. When you look at a company like Apple or some of the really big, big companies out there, am I on their playing field? No, but there are a lot of things I can learn from them. They never stand still. They always have forward movement. Mm-hmm. So some of our movement might look small, such as we are introducing bamboo fusion into our company and taking away warm stones. Warm stones is old, been there, done that.
And not everybody, new and exciting. Everybody has them.
So now I'm bringing in the instructor and we're teaching. So we're up in our game. Now, I promise you, within 6 months, there will be a lot more that will be done bamboo fusion in our area. That's fine, but they're following us. They're not leading us. Yes. And that's what's important to me.
So for us, our goals are really to stay ahead of the trend, to stay ahead of our marketplace and always have, you know, I talk about this in my spotpreneur community, the unique selling proposition. Our unique selling proposition is that we always stay current to what is necessary for our clients' betterment. And the other thing that makes us so special is we're a mixture of what we call sassy and serene. We're a lot of fun in like the lobby and we have a lot of fun with our clients, but they get serious care when they're in the room. So, and that's really important because it can't be one or the other. And I think that's what makes us so unique in our marketplace is that we are not that sterile, cold, corporate-approved massage.
No. We're real. These people, we have three clients. We have clients, we have family, and then we have owners. The clients are the ones that come in occasionally, and we don't know them that well. Family are the ones that, over the years, we know them inside and out. They were invited to Mona's wedding.
Yeah.
They grieved with us when her husband died. They are so, and that's our core group right there. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that come back over and over and over again, who send in a lot more people and just rave about
They're
us.
The biggest chunk you want in your business. You want that family. You want people that basically would invite to a family booth. And then the third one,
But they're the owners, and they're the most interesting group because they want to tell me how to run the business.
And they have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, and you have to learn how to take their advice and not roll your eyes. And sometimes their advice is really good. And other times you're like, you know, let me think about that. So you have to sort of balance that out. But they're the ones that will tell me to clean the bathroom or something.
Or it's cold or I don't like the music today.
Oh, God. They're very opinionated. And it's fun. They're fun.
So it's really important to be able to have the goals. But other goals that we do look at, like metrics we look at, retention is number one.
Oh, God. Oh, huge. God. Yeah. If you're not doing retention, you're screwed.
I think that's a problem a lot of people struggle with is retention. And it's really all about the relationship, like you guys were just saying, too. And
yeah, so, but it's about the skill, too.
Yeah,
if you're not providing the skill, then you're not going to have retention. We've said that in the podcast several times, is when you're not able to retain people, you need to look at yourself good and hard and ask why.
Yeah, because are you asking them and giving a specific reason to come back? You know, are you, especially in hair and nails and skin and all of our modalities in spa world, you know, there is no reason why you can't give them a very specific reason to come back. But if you give them a specific reason and they're still not coming back or they never come back, it's a skill level. And you got to ask yourself, be honest with yourself, am I in the right niche? Yeah. Am I getting the right kind of customers? And you know, you have to ask yourself those hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
So those are goals and things we like to focus on, is that are we attracting the right kind of clients? Are we attracting the right market? What are our retention numbers look like? And we look at that at an individual therapist level to make sure that, you know, we're partnering with them to make sure that they're succeeding where they need to. And that's how we do our business.
Awesome. Perfect. And so maybe, probably now better than ever. Well, let's get a little background. Maybe how you guys first got started. What made you want to really decide, like, let's open up a spa? You know, was there?
I didn't know better.
You didn't know better.
Nothing.
Not okay though, didn't it? I mean, you guys are extremely successful, so I guess you made the right decision. Although I'm sure it's stressful, right?
Well, that's why we started the podcast. Yeah. Was the reality? My favorite thing. Oh, it must be so nice to work here. I had to chase a cockroach out of the corner the other day.
Really?
I had to take cobwebs out from the door and the cleaning crew didn't get. I got a woman really upset with me because we're taking the hot stones away. Yeah, oh no, isn't that stressful? And I got a front desk worker that's waiting for me to show up so she can talk to me about something. I'm like, oh God. Just
always something, right?
There really is. And it's okay. If you're a strong person and you can deal with it and not take it personally, then you can deal with it.
So she started actually because she threw out her back. She was a copier sales rep.
Really? I didn't talk about that today. I'm talking about as it got to the end of the month, my skirts got higher, my tops got lower, and I was the number one sales rep. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. So you threw out your back, and you got a shitty massage.
Background then you started kind of what all did you do behind the desk job? Did it kind of give you a little bit of experience with this, as well as like relating with people, talking to people and things like that?
It's just relating with people. I don't know a stranger. I don't know how to I am one of those. I'm going to say stupid shit. I'm going to say the stupid things because my mouth has no filter, so I draw people to me that enjoy that. And others, because we're in a serious Bible belt, are like, oh, I'll pray for you today.
Absolutely. And do you guys, where does most of your guys' audience come from? Do you have like a lot of local people who listen to you, or is it more all across everywhere?
It's everywhere, but oh my God, a few of my girls at the office discovered us, and I'm like, oh shit. What have we said? I can't talk about them anymore.
Yeah. We're going to start using code names. A good portion of our audience, we have a lot of people from like North Carolina, South Carolina, huge group of Texas. We have people from England.
Canada.
We have people from Indonesia. We have people from Bali.
You know, it's one of those kind of things you find out that the world is small and we're all the same. We have the same desires, hopes, dreams. And really, it takes the same strategy to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, and we attract pretty much a lot of women. I would say 98% of our audience is women. And we attract them because they really are looking for some business girlfriends. And I think that's the way they see us, is that they really want business girlfriends who are fun, not boring, but give actual real advice, because we still, number one, own a day spa still. That's huge.
And we don't act like ladies.
No.
You know, this notion that a woman has to act meek and demure to be strong and heard is crock-a-doo-doo. You just don't have to be that way. You can be yourself. And because men certainly don't do that.
Yeah.
Men approach it just exactly the way they want to approach it, and you either take it or you don't. And they don't take that emotionally. They don't take it personally.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge with an industry that's dominated by women, is that emotion leads first. So the first thing we have to do with our audience is, and this is the same with your clients too, especially in massage, because that's a very intimate experience, even more so than hair and some of the other modalities, is that you have to, you know, get to know them on a personal level. It can't just be, and I think that's our strength, both at the Day Spa and at Spapreneur, is that we care about Erica and Joanna. We don't care about client one, client two. Yeah. We know their names. We know their struggles. We know who they are. And you as a provider have to do that. You want consistent clients like us that are family, that will grieve with you when your husband dies.
Yeah.
You have to get to know your clients. You have to get past the, you know, they often say that the best therapist is a bartender or a beautician. It's true. I mean, a hairstylist, if the right one comes along, they can be your best.
They're listening to you. It's the listening aspect. You know, our hands in our business is important, but the listening skill is so much more important.
Yeah. Where do you feel that a lot of the like education and training as far as doing a lot of those things and relating to people came from? Was it just your own like self-education, or just figuring out as you go?
Personality.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at yourself and ask yourself, what kind of person am I? And if you're a little bit more introvert and you're just not comfortable getting out there, and you're not comfortable telling someone, I don't care how you feel today, get in the room and work, then it's probably not for you. That's why they have places that will hire you in. And that's okay. We can't all be the boss. Mm-hmm. So, but those who want to be, if they have the right personality and can take all the crap that comes at them every day and mm-hmm. can pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and keep going at it, then they're the ones we want.
What about for the people who maybe are kind of a little bit introverted, but they do want to get to, you know, the point where they, you know, can kind of be at that higher level? Because I feel like that's the case a lot of the time. Like even some of our clients, like they're extremely good at what they do. They have some, you know, big goals and they want to do a lot, but at first they're kind of, you know, a little shy and not as confident as they like to be. What would maybe, you know, be a good tip or trick that they could kind of, you know, ease into it? Or they just, you know, get out there and, you know, be as bold as like you're saying, and the personality. Because I think it's something that even for myself, you know, when I, you know, think about 4 years ago or whatever, when I first went to like college, I'm young, I'm 22. And so like when I first came to college and things like that, like I was very outgoing and outspoken and things like that. But when I first started my business, I obviously didn't know too much. And so I was a little bit more reserved. I didn't know exactly what to say in certain situations, but I would always go and, you know, if I didn't know what happened at that moment, I would go home and I would go study and try to figure it out. So the next time it wouldn't happen that way and I would be able to get through it. Is that, what would you maybe recommend to the people who are maybe like just now, like starting to try to get out of their shell a little bit and really kind of expand and growing into that boss?
The first couple of things is, number one, recognize what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. So, and partner with people whose weaknesses that's are it. Your strengths. And that's really important. So for example, I am not an organized person. No. Yeah. So when I was running De-Stress, because there was a time period was running it, I had to have somebody who was my front desk admin who was extremely organized. So the first thing, recognizing what your weaknesses are, and then find people that you can bring on your team that complement your weaknesses, that your weaknesses are their strengths. So that's number one. Number two is recognize you will not be good at everything. And that is okay. You cannot be good at everything. It's impossible. So instead, again, partner with people. You can do it. So again, if you're not good at marketing, that's okay. Find someone who can do that for you. You know, or learn how to do it your best ability. And then the minute you can outsource that, outsource it. There's no reason for you to do everything yourself. Same thing even with massage. I actually trained to be a massage therapist, and I was a terrible massage therapist for a lot of reasons. So guess what? I don't do massages anymore, but I'm so thankful I have the education of it. So I understand and empathize with our massage therapists and estheticians. I know what it's like to be in a room one-on-one with a client. And I think that's the difference, is that you have to understand where your strengths are and really amplify their strengths. You know, in society, we're always like, okay, we need to work on our strengths, work on our strengths. Bullshit. We need to work on our weaknesses.
Yeah, I certainly don't need to work on talking.
No, but we also don't really need to work on your weaknesses. Honestly, find people or systems or plans that will figure out the weaknesses for you.
Yes. You know what one of my favorite things to say is, I'm good at everything I do. I'm very good at everything I do because I don't do things I can't do.
Yeah. Why would I? Yeah. So stop trying to be a hero. The other thing is that something comes with experience and age. Even introverted people can be very strong business owners. Just because you're introverted doesn't mean that you cannot talk to people. Yeah. It just means you're going to do it in a different way. So you need to understand too, whereas we are extremely extroverted, and that may seem to come easy to us. It actually doesn't. You know, sometimes when we're over planning, it can be too stressful. So introverts have a great strength that extroverts don't have, because they may be calmer, or they may be more deliberate in how they approach people. And that's a strength. So just, you don't necessarily have to do it exactly the way someone like us do it. You need to take wisdom that we give you and then try to mold it to your own life. And remember, running a business is like running a big experiment. You can try a bunch of things. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, but you have to keep trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100%. I mean, when we first got started with our business, I mean, we were just broke college kids trying to make a quick buck, right? And it kind of, you know, developed into something much, much bigger very, very quickly. But like, we had to learn so much along the way. And I think it was all about, we kind of have what we call a dream team. And it's only three of us. One is me, one is Katie, and one is my other friend who I've known since we were kids. And so really, like, I think the biggest part that's made us so successful is literally what you just said. Like, we focused on what we're good at. You know, I was good at, you know, getting out and talking to people. Obviously, I had to learn some things along the way to get better and better at it. But that was kind of my focus. And Katie was more of, you know, reaching out to people and connecting with them through online and doing a little bit more of the back end things to kind of push people to get in touch with me. And then my other buddy, he would do a lot of the results-based stuff. And so we had this, you know, kind of unit that we were able to kind of hone it in and get it rock and rolling very, very smoothly. But when we tried to involve some other people into our little circle, things started to go all over the place, right? Because, you know, it's really hard to work with people who you can give them anything and everything they need to know, but it's hard to really get them to think on your wavelength. It takes some time, right? And so that's like really what I wanted to focus on today is, like, you know, when it comes to growing and managing and scaling a business, I think, you know, training and education and, you know, building a bigger dream team is really what it's all about. And so maybe you guys could kind of share some experiences as far as, like, maybe sharing, like, when did you hire, like, your first person to work with? And how did you kind of evolve into growing and expanding a little
who
bit?
Who was my first person?
The witch, and then you fired her because she was a witch.
Experience?
The daughter of one of my high school teachers.
Really?
So I can't believe that high school class. I'm not kidding.
And she used to be Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, she was Minnie Mouse in Disney World. That was the whole thing.
Look, you know, you talked about learning over the year, over time, and making your mistakes and all. I mean, I didn't go into business thinking, wow, I want to run a really big company one day. I just slowly eked into it. And what I found was that I had to stop worrying about people liking me. And I had to set a standard for this is my company, this is my brand, and I want you on board if you agree with this. Now, I recognize they have personality differences than I do, and they run things a little bit differently than I do. But when all is said and done, I get the final word. Mm-hmm. And I have hired many people. I have fired many people. But for me, and it took me a long time to understand this, so before I say this last part, I think it's important for anyone going into business to, one, we talked about this on the podcast, get your mentoring team together. That's so, so, so important. And let them help you define some of your strengths. I like being around strong women. You would think that I'd rather be the queen bee, but I find strong women know how to stand up to me and know how to not take things personally if I tell them, you look like crap today. You need to do something about that. They don't get all fussy about it. They just think, oh, wow, what'd I do wrong?
Yeah, we don't do well with people like, no, get to the point.
Yeah.
Be blunt and tell me if I have something in my teeth so I can move on with my day.
So I'm surrounded by very strong women, and not all of them loud, but they can stand their ground. And the men that I have there, they are not intimidated by the women at all. They love them. They just don't have to flex their muscles. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful team. If it doesn't fit, I quickly get rid of it. Very quickly now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's kind of like cancer in the bullpen. If you understand baseball analogies, you know, if you get like an all-star player that seems really good, but your entire team doesn't work well with that person, get rid of them. It doesn't matter how much money they bring you.
Nope.
It doesn't matter because your team is everything. We've had consistent people. We've had people who have been with us for now 15 years, which is incredible.
Most of my team's been there 8+ years.
Yeah. And the reason we have that is because, number one, we've given them the room and the opportunity to grow. We do mentor them a lot. And as business owners, you also have to decide if you're going to have a model where you bring in younger people, less experienced people, you're going to have to spend some time mentoring whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
You're going to have to spend some time mothering these people.
Your challenge would be, because you're so young, is getting someone older in there and saying, look, we got to agree that I can learn a lot from you, but when all said and done, I'm the one paying the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what happened to us for a little bit. Like we took on a couple other partners that we started working with who were older and in the industry as well. But they, I think, were getting a little bit stuck. And so we got together and we kicked it off really good at when we first got started talking to each other. And then things were great when we first got started. There was, you know, good vibes going, but then it kind of got to the point where we had to do a lot of coaching and mentoring with them to kind of like let them know, you know, what we had in mind for the long term and how we were kind of getting through some of the struggles and how we were able to scale very, very quickly and how we needed to all be able to do that very quickly, especially when you take on more people, that takes on more expenses, right? And so, you know, you have to really make sure that if you are going to take someone on that they are ready and just go, right? And so I think that was the hardest part for us, was just the fact that we had a good feeling about them, but the dynamic of the team kind of shifted, and it kind of just made everyone bicker at each other because it was so, you know, it was hard to do, and it was just, I guess, not the best fit at the right time. And I think we stuck with it for way too long, and actually just less than a month ago, we decided to go back to our little dream team, and they decided to keep doing their thing. And it was kind of frustrating for us because we invested so much time and energy and money even into, you know, working with these people. And I think it really does come down to, you know, the point where, I don't know. I mean, what would you guys maybe say, like a tip that you wish that someone maybe would have shared with you when you were trying to really find and sift through and finding those right people and, you know, building that solid team? Because I think that's something that we could definitely learn from too. And it's a lot of the questions that were being asked were kind of related to, you know, what do you do when someone's a thorn in your side? And, you know, how do you really, you
know. There's always someone that's a thorn in your side.
There's always someone at the bottom of the totem pole. There's always someone.
Yeah. And it's not always the same person.
So accept that. There's always going to be someone on your team that's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
Accept that as business owner. Okay, let's be really clear, women who are watching this particularly, okay? This is not a sorority. This is a business. You cannot treat it like a sorority. And I mean that in all sincerity as someone who loves the Greek lifestyle. You just can't do it. The first thing you have to do as business owners, and Jordan, you said this very key, you guys understood what your vision was for your company. And that I think is really important because a lot of business owners do not take the time to really think about the vision and the core values of themselves. The people that you surround yourself with, their strengths may be different than yours, but ultimately their core values need to align with yours.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's, and if they're conflicting, it will never work. It doesn't matter how talented they are or how nice they are. If the core values don't work, the core values don't work.
Yeah, and know that for a good 90 days to 6 months, everybody's on their best behavior. Mm-hmm. It's a honeymoon, and I don't care who you are. I can't tell you how many times we've hired someone in, and they have looked just like perfect. But over time, we fall back into our old habits, and that's where the rubber hits the road. So at that point, I give them options. You either need to change this behavior, or this isn't going to work out.
Yeah, so you kind of have to give them that ultimatum, right? Like, we need to get things rocking.
And it needs to be a quick change.
And I also have to ask myself, when it comes to my group, is this a problem I can live with? Yeah. I know that every month and few months, I have to go to this one particular therapist and say, you better be here on time or I'm going to start taking money out of your check. And they'll straighten up for a while and then they'll fall back into habit. It's worth it for me to just get on to this person. But there are other people I'm just not going to put up with their habits and their disruption.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, people have to learn how to tell people, you know, they just have to be straight up. I think a lot of people like just take it and take it and take it. When if you're a business owner, like, you know, make the right decision for yourself, right?
Grow a pair.
Yeah. There's also a great book by Dan Kennedy called, I forget, it's about management, BS Guide to Management or something like that. And so a business mentor gave it to me, Michelle Piven gave it to me a while back. And one of the things he talks about is broken windows. And, you know, when you see a building with broken windows, you know that there's disrepair. So you have to look at your team and say, are there any broken windows? You know, is there someone that just doesn't fit with our group for whatever reason? Yeah. And again, you ask yourself, can you fix the broken window or do you need to replace the broken window?
Yeah. I love that analogy. That's good. We listen to Dan Kennedy a lot. I think a lot of business owners particularly should spend less time on like behind the chair and more time like learning from people like, you know, actual mentors in the business side.
Yeah,
and
they're scared. Yeah. They're scared. They don't think that their business will succeed and they've got to get out of that mentality.
Or they don't want to get let go of their clients because their clients love them so much. Okay. Here's the deal, y'all. You will never, right now, our day spa is running. We're at her house recording this. Mm-hmm. Our day spa, though we're getting text messages from our front desk, is still taking appointments and making money. She's about to go on vacation in France for practically a month in November. Guess what? Her day spa is still going to make her a ton of money. So the problem is that
she's in charge.
And God help that, because I'm a lot meaner than she is. No, it's true. And that's why
she's mean.
And that's why I'm not in the day spa that often, because it'll give them a good waking. They're going to be like,
yes, Lynn's back. Thank God. Sassy's back. Because she was so mean to us.
I know, baby. It's going to be okay. Anyway, but the point is that if you really want to scale and, you know, you really want to, you have to spend time away from the chair, away from the massage table, beyond the treatment room, guys. You have to mark out, and I say this 2 hours, at least 3 times a week, so it's about 6 hours to work on your business. It's so important.
There's a chain out there, Bumble and Bumble, and that's one of their number one, is for hair salons, it's one of their number one criteria is you can't be behind the chair. Now, I have 3 clients. I love what I do. I love it.
And I think it's great you still have those clients because it keeps you in that.
They're
still
dirty months. Old Jewish attorneys. Yeah. Love them. But I cannot run the business and be in the rooms. I can't, because that's not fair to the client. That's not fair to the business. You can only serve one master. You better pick that master.
And if you want to own the business and not run it, then you hire a general manager and you let them manage and you keep it calm. But guess what? You're not going to be able to do that.
No, you really not. It's your baby.
It's your baby. So you have to at some point decide, I love you, dear client, but I can't see you anymore. Make up excuses if you have to.
I did. I told him that I had to take 3 months off because I was hurting so bad, which was true. And then I quietly told about five people, I will keep you as a client. I cannot keep everybody else. And that's how I had to do it.
And they whined. Oh, my God. They stopped. Cried. They still, after all these years, like, Liz.
I remember when you used to work on me.
I don't think she's that I'm
really not. I'm not as good as the rest of them there.
Yeah.
It's the relationship more than anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. 100%. Yes, yeah. It is. It really is. So I make a point of being around to talk to them and making sure that emotionally they're doing well. Is that your plane or ours?
Our plane.
We have one too.
Yeah, we have the jets flying today.
We don't even think about it because we're near an Air Force base, so we hear jet noise all the time.
So are we. So.
Whoa! But yeah, the relationships matter in this business. The relationships are everything.
And that really is. That's your building block.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I had a little Wi-Fi issue. I think I'm good.
Oh, you're fine. But what I'm saying is that the relationships in this business are everything. This is a relationship business first and foremost.
Well, every business is relationship.
It really is. But even this one, so much so, people are allowing you to affect their bodies, okay?
Yeah.
Hair is a serious thing, y'all. We don't really talk to hairstylists, but...
And that's not just a girl thing. Guys are just bad about their hair.
But I'm serious. You want the client to be monogamous with you so you can be slutty with everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you need to understand that. You need to be so good that they're like, yes, I only want to see you. I love you so much. I will, fly across the country to see you. Yeah. That's what you want.
And in the beauty business too, I think it's like really, I mean, you can only be so good at your service, right? And so it's also the point where like, is this like someone I'm going to take the time out of my day, whether it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to go drive down there and, connect with this person for the next,
Yeah, right. And the whole salon experience, spa or salon, same thing. The whole thing has to be good. So I will tell you, I went, I had to fire my hairstylist. It's a whole story. It's on the podcast. We talk about it. But so I was checking in, and I went to a very fancy looking spa, right? That had also hair care services. And it was an Aveda salon. So they have certain protocols and everything. I'm like, great. I go in there, chipped paint, chip stations. The girl had frizzy hair. That should have been my first clue. They ruined my hair. Ruined it. And I'm thinking, and I paid so much money for it. So guys, take a look at your businesses like you would a new client. If there's chip paint, clean. Make sure your hair looks good, hairstylist.
Messy the whole door I gotta paint.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Messy hair for hairstylists? I'm sorry, no. Put some makeup on, okay? I know, and massage therapists, you granola people, put some fucking real deodorant on. It's true.
Oh, my God. I have pulled them into the room and made them put it on.
Wear a bra.
We need bra checks.
Get your shit together, okay? Yeah. Even if inside you are dying and there's something wrong with you, act like you have your shit together, okay? Yeah. Because the client often does it. Someone needs to not be crazy. It can't be you.
Someone's got to help them maintain the sanity, right?
So, do what you need to. Seriously, though. But that's the thing is that your appearance of your day spa and your salon matter.
She's saying that it starts from the moment you walk into the door all the way through and back out. That's
even
important.
How you get them booked, the reconfirmation, everything should be easy. How they can find you. Are the directions on your website clear? It's how to buy or book an appointment super clear.
Yeah.
Is your front desk staff trained on giving really easy directions to your spa? Because there will be that person, no matter what Waze says, cannot figure out how to get to you. So can your person on the phone very calmly while they have four other people in front of them, give them directions and still serve the four other people? These are the things that matter as a business owner. And you can't focus on them if you're behind a chair or inside a room. You just can't. Because right now, when you are behind a chair or in a room, you owe it to that client who's paying you to have 100% attention on them. And if you're having 100% attention on them, that means your business isn't. And that means every client. I often say we have over 23,000 clients in our database. Those are all our clients. And we cannot do what we do at our day spa if she's 100% in the rooms with her 80 clients instead. It doesn't work that way. So you have to make a choice.
Let's maybe take us back a little bit. What you said you started out, Lynn, when you were first getting started, like you didn't expect that you'd, you know, grow it into a big, big business, right? And so maybe what kind of drove you to really, you know, think that, you know, I can actually, you know, grow this into something pretty big, and I can actually, you know, operate as a business owner rather than just get stuck behind the chair, right? What kind of like drove you to kind of have that aha moment that like it can be much bigger than this?
You want to answer that? She left for a couple years because she had to take care of parents who were dying, and I basically
she took over my business, and I came back, and it was a big girl business. It was not a little tiny spa little thing where there were four of us. And it's like, what the hell? So then we had to triple the size of it and move.
And then we had to add on another 1,000 square feet.
And the bottom line is, it's like a snowball effect. If you serve the client, the money will follow. We serve the client first, always. In sales, no matter what you're selling, a car, anything.
Real estate, serve the client first.
Because they'll tell everybody else. And then they will all start coming into you. So the need became greater. And the hardest part was finding massage therapists, because Virginia was very behind the ball in keeping up with the times when it came to massage therapy.
Yeah. And so maybe obviously when you get to that point, it's a whole different ball game, right? Because word of mouth starts to go almost viral, right? When you get that solid, good, ideal clients in the spa, right? So maybe what did you guys do to really attract those ideal clients and get the foundation kind of laid? Because a lot of people say like, oh, most of my business comes from word of mouth, right? And so obviously word of mouth starts after you already acquire clients, right? And so I think a lot of people just rely on word of mouth, but they never really laid a solid foundation for that to really start working the best for them. And so what did you guys kind of do when you were first getting started out as far as client attraction? What were some maybe things that worked, what didn't work? What would maybe be one tip that really helped you guys get that foundation layered and not just cheap Groupon clients and things like that?
I lowered my price to what I thought I was worth at that time. I had just gotten out of school. There weren't really any massage therapists around me. But even now I would give this advice. Even if there were 100 massage therapists around me, I would still give this advice. Start lower, build your client base. Mm-hmm. I'd rather make $35 an hour than nothing. And if you're good enough, they will start coming. And then you slowly start increasing over the next 2 years. $5 here, $5 there, and it will happen. I printed up flyers, just simple little flyers, and I stuck them in a deli that was popular in our area. I traded with the owner there, and I said, Katie, if you'll come in, if you'll let me put these in here, I'll give you free massages. So she told everybody about it, and people would pick up these flyers and hang on to it. So it didn't cost me anything.
The other thing she did that was really smart is where other day spas wouldn't give to charities, she always gave.
Oh, God. Yeah. Huge. And I happened upon this, but it's one of the best things I ever did was I gave to the Jewish Community Center. And the Jewish people as a whole, when they find someone that does them right, they tell everyone. They're a very tight-knit community. So now we joke around and say there are people.
Love the chosen people. Yes. So we're Lutherans. Yes. We celebrate Hanukkah too.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. We like brisket and we like lattes.
Anyway, but yes. Giving. Gosh, where, I don't have to give money to run an ad. That's why
you run an ad. Oh, are we getting feedback?
No, I'm getting freezing up a little bit. I don't know if it's my Wi-Fi or my heating. What was that last thing you just said? It skipped out a little bit.
Giving. I don't pay for ads, but I definitely will give gift certificates coming and going. They're free advertising for me. And I want them to use them.
Yeah. And the other thing is, once you have a base of clients that are coming in, get them back, but then get testimonials from them on online. That is huge. The minute we focused on getting really good testimonials, and I have, if you have not signed up already, Google Local app is absolutely free. Sign up, fill out the profile. I get notifications every time we get a 5-star review. Every time we get a review, I get a notification. Every time we get a Facebook review, I get a notification, even though I'm not there all the time. And we make sure we respond to all of that. It's so important because it's testimonial, especially Google. Google loves it. So then when people are searching for massage in Newport News, Google's like, oh, this place has a ton of reviews on our platform. We're going to put them up first. And that's advertising we don't have to pay for.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm too busy to, you know, respond to all these comments or do all this. And I think, like, that's, like, when you're first getting started out, you should not be worried about any of that stuff. Even if you're, you know, well veteraned, I think, like, while you're still, you know, looking to grow and expand, like, you need to be on top of things. You need to be engaging with people. You need to be, you know, doing anything you can. You know, ads will help expedite the process. But like you just said, I think that's awesome what you guys did, kind of started working with a specific community, and those people start to, you know, buzz around and talk about you too. And so,
and this was 1996. There was no social media. There was no email.
Yeah.
There was none of this. So you're actually, it's actually easier to get
oh, God, now. Yeah.
So much easier. So there's no excuses. It's not that bullshit excuse. I call shenanigans on that. The other thing, guys, and this is truly important. Are you actually spending time working? So what I mean by that is, yes, if you're taking clients, okay, great, you track those hours. But are you actually working on your business? Are you tracking the time you're working on your business? Because I guarantee you, you're not spending nearly enough time. When you're a new business owner, pretty much you need to live, eat, and breathe that business. You don't have time to hang out with girlfriends. You don't have time to watch to stream Game of Thrones or anything. You should be doing everything you can for your business. And if you don't, go be an employee somewhere. That's okay.
Yeah.
100%. I completely agree with that. Was there one point that you guys ever hit like a wall or a problem that really kind of slowed things down, or you were kind of like, oh, I don't know if I could do this anymore, or just a point in time where it was really stressful, and what maybe did you do to kind of overcome that?
I haven't really hit that wall. The closest I came to it was I changed everybody's commission structure from a base pay to where they got paid a certain amount for all massages to commission only, and I had a real rebellion on my hands, but I stuck with my guns on that one, and it was a very, very scary time because realistically I had almost a coup going on, and they almost all walked out of me at the same time, but in the end pretty much everybody stayed. But I was willing to risk that, and knowing that if I had to, I'd get in there and do 20 massages a day. So sometimes you face those uncertainties, but I knew it was the right thing to do. You know, now people had the advantage of listening. I didn't have all the advice out there. So now they have the advantage of listening to us when we say, set your standards at the beginning, not halfway through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What do you guys feel like maybe at what point was maybe the hardest part of growing into where you're at now? Was it really like what was maybe, if there, you could pick one thing, would it be like hiring people? Would it be
us? It's so funny you said we almost killed each other.
Yeah, we, I mean, seriously.
We fought for control.
Every day, one of us would quit.
Yeah.
Every day.
And this went on for several years.
Yeah. In front of clients, in front of therapists, in front of our family. It was just no break. And we finally, you know,
I kicked her out.
Yeah, and then I kicked her out.
It got pretty feisty, huh?
No, well, it did, because we both loved it so much.
Here, one second. I'm gonna, y'all keep talking. I'm going to move inside. I think my computer's overheating a little bit, so okay. I don't want to miss it. You were saying that it was hard working with the two of y'all, right?
Well, it was because we were at different points in our lives as far as emotionally for ourselves. So we didn't have an understanding. I'm a mother. I wanted her to succeed, but de-stress with my baby also. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to give that up. And she wanted to make her mark and prove herself. And
de-stress is hers. And I had to finally accept that no matter what I did, De-stress is always hers. So what we had to do is we had to learn to respect each other. But also what helped was, honestly, when she left for Florida to take care of my grandmother, it forced me to be a business owner, and I realized how important she was. And then when she pushed me out the nest because I had finished college and needed to get a grown-up job, and I needed
to change. Honestly, she was getting bored sitting there. Yeah. You know, Mona's not a sit-around-with-one-business kind of person. She'd rather be out with the masses.
Yeah. So she kicked me out, and then she realized, oh, fuck. Ramona actually knew what she was doing. So it was a kind of a little bit of the heart absence makes a heart grow fonder. And now I think we have a very good working relationship where we understand each other's strengths.
It's because we lived together for 3 years. Well, everybody thought we were crazy.
Oh, my God, they did. So
it worked. I don't know. I cannot tell you why it worked.
No, we had to. One is, you know, my husband died.
We were living together for 6 months before that.
But, you know, realistically, you know, I stayed longer because my husband died and my family had to support me because
It was a game changer.
It was a huge game changer because once you go through something like that, you realize all the bullshit is truly bullshit. That when you watch someone you love die at 36 years old, 37 years old, you're just like, okay, let's be realistic about what really matters. And so there are times where she'll do things that de-stress that I don't necessarily agree with, but unless it's something I really feel compelled to argue with, I'm not going to say anything because I'm not there every day. So I don't have the right to say things anymore. I'll come in, make suggestions or do things, but I'm hands off. I'm more of a silent business partner, but I'm there when she needs me to be, to answer questions and all.
I'm also careful not to ask family advice unless I really want to hear it.
Yes.
I don't come home and talk about the business just to hear myself talk because I know someone's going to try to fix it for me, and I don't want that. So I've learned to turn it off about the time I hit the neighborhood and I come home. I have to turn it off.
This is why you need to have a mentor circle that's not your family. You need to, and also get people, not that Jordan is great or we're not great, get some people outside of the spa industry.
Oh God,
so important. Because,
my best one was my landlord.
Yeah, though he thought he was an owner and could run the business too.
We can't hear you, Jordan.
Yes, we can hear you, Jordan. But yeah, that's the key is that, you know, you have to, and the other thing, it takes time. You know, we didn't set out, and we also didn't set out in the beginning, we're going to own a 4,000 square foot spa.
No,
we did not. That was not even on our radar. Hell, when I came to her, it was because I needed a job while I went back to school with two babies, and she needed a front desk person. That's how it really started.
Yeah.
It was sheer, like, she needed something, I needed something. So it kind of worked and we fought through it. But that was the hardest thing is just when you have family, particularly, or people you treat like family who both equally love it, but are equally going to fight for it. It can become problematic.
Yeah. That I can completely relate. I mean, me and Katie have butted heads so many different times, but it's definitely something you kind of have to just, you have to have that conversation, right? And just really, you know, realize that you're both on the same page. You both want what's best for each other. It's just like, obviously we all have our own opinions and things like that. And so I think it's like you just said, completely important to also like have that outside perspective too.
But for you guys, it's important that you turn it off.
Yeah.
You need a dedicated set aside time on the weekends of saying, we're turning it off now.
This is beer time. We don't talk about work right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I completely agree, 100%. Well, I know we've been chatting for a little bit. You guys have been fun so far. This is getting a lot of.
We've been good.
Yeah, we haven't really done
anything. No, we've been behaving ourselves.
Yeah, we have way bodier on the podcast.
I'd rather keep it raw and real. I mean, that's what we're all about, too. So, I've got some questions that we compiled that were kind of more specific. So, maybe I'll just run through these really quick. Before we wrap up, because I know you guys are super busy and I don't want to get too much into your day. I appreciate you guys giving us the time here. It's awesome. These were just some of the questions. So what we did, we ran a little kind of like a survey, like a little ask campaign where we just kind of asked, you know, hey, we're going to be interviewing, you know, a lot of influencers, expert podcasters in the space who have been through, you know, the ups and downs of female entrepreneurship and, you know, through the beauty industry on the inside. So we asked, you know, what's your number one question about attracting and managing clients, but also growing and scaling a business? And so some of them are pretty specific, but I put some here that maybe you guys would be most suited to answer.
Okay.
And so one of them was, you were talking a little bit about little promotions and things like that. Someone really asked, you know, what like gift certificates or things like that have you guys used and things like that? Obviously this one is very, very specific, but have you guys had some success with gift certificates, like little specials or vouchers and things like that?
Oh God, yes. You're crazy if you don't do gift certificates.
Yeah, you're crazy. Seriously, I hear so many people like, I don't want to do gift certificates. It feels like I'm doing the thing. You need to learn how to manage your gift certificate money, which means that when you get a gift certificate in, when one gets bought, it means that that's not your money. That's a business's money.
No, it goes
in a special account, and you don't touch it till that person actually comes and uses the gift certificate. And that's hard. That takes discipline.
Ours don't expire.
Yep.
We don't use the plastic cards because too many people are out there. One, they get lost in the shuffle of all the other cards.
Nice.
And they can lose their value over time. And I want them to use that gift certificate because if they use it, they're likely to tell somebody else about
it. Or come back and become a regular client. Yeah. So stop making gift certificates so hard. Use them. We rarely do any kind of like deals or coupons, things like that. We have an app that we use. We'll send out like push notification for last minute openings, and that's at the front desk discretion. Every once in a while, we'll do a flash sale. We just did our last one that we'll be doing for a long, long time, but you cannot build a sustainable business on deals and coupons. It's not allowed. And please, for God's sake, never do a Groupon.
I swear, Groupon's going to sue us.
Named us one of the best spa podcasts in the industry. So thank you, Groupon. It cracks me up every time.
I love Groupon. I love them.
As a consumer. But as a business owner.
But I'm not going to devalue my money.
No.
When people will pay the top price because
So just don't do it. Because people who buy from Groupon are loyal to Groupon.
Yeah, I completely agree. And honestly, the one thing that I've seen that's really been super successful for a lot of people we work with is like, you can still use like the same tactic of a Groupon, but don't do it on Groupon because people on Groupon are just looking for a cheap, quick, one-time thing, right? And so like you can still use those kind of offers and specials. And even I think it's a good idea to kind of go see what people are doing in your market that maybe is working and do it on a different platform where it's more like a way that, you know, it builds your list in that way too. And your following when you give out those specials and discounts and gift certificates, things like that, and exclusives, like make it exclusive. So it's
everybody,
you know,
remember Groupon is the one night stand. We're looking for monogamy from our customers. We don't want a one night stand.
I love that.
We want them to come back over and over again.
Yeah, 100%. What's maybe, you talked about your team members. Do you guys do anything to really motivate? And you guys have like team meetings. What do you guys do to make sure everyone stays on the right track, but still keep things?
I get to answer this.
Okay.
My group is too close. There's 25 of them. And they are too close.
They're very
friendly. They all like to go and take vacations together and go hang out together. They all come in hungover together. I mean, we have a very close-knit group. We have potlucks all the time. Even though they're independent contractors, I buy t-shirts and they love them. And I will put some, like I stole this completely from someone else. It says Masseuse on the Loose on the back of the shirt.
They love those shirts.
And they do. They love the shirts. And then
we bought them LuLaRoe leggings one Valentine's Day. That was a lot of fun. All of us wearing pretty much matching LuLaRoe leggings. And
we just do fun things together. We make a point. And not everybody wants to be a part of it.
And
but
that's okay.
Most of them do.
And the other thing is, I think we get to know them on a personal level. So we like to know if they're facing like personal challenges and how can we support them?
Yeah.
Even though they're independent contractors, like, you know,
they're my family.
Yeah. If they're going through a divorce, if they're going through a loss, even if they're just like their car's broken down, you know what I mean? Like, trust me, we've helped a lot for different things.
Yeah, we have. I'm laughing because it gets ludicrous sometimes. One girl called me crying on the phone and we'll both be a little bit nippy and I'm so sorry you're going through this. I mean, they all have my phone. We're a little bit too close for Ramona's comfort, but they also know that when I put my foot down, and don't push my envelope too far. But my favorite thing to do is sit in the back room, which I call therapist theater, and just listen to the young ones. I forget I'm 58 because they keep me so young. Oh my God. They do some of the craziest things. So. Yeah, it's we are a close group, and the clients feel that. They know that about us. So, yeah, we're all a little naughty body and misbehaving around there.
Uh-huh. Good though. Is that kind of something that, obviously, some of these people you said you've been working with for like 15 years, right? And so
you kind of spoil them.
Yeah.
I do. I spoil them. I have the tables there. If they say, hey, can I get this bolster? Sure, I'll order it for you.
Yeah, I mean, we even, like, are, we have a prenatal specialist. We built a room for
just
for her so that she could have all the bolsters and things she needs because she really wanted to specialize in prenatal. So when you have an all-star team, do what you need to do to keep the all-star team.
Yeah, if they ask me within reason, I do it for them. Now, they do know if they're having problems one to the other, I'm going to pull them both in the room.
And we're going to make
and we're going to sit down and we're all going to talk about it together. So don't talk to me about somebody else unless you're willing to talk to them at the same time. I force them into being grown-ups around there.
Yeah, 100%. I think,
especially with a bunch of women.
Yes, it's so important.
I was about to say, have you ever had, an experience where, you know, maybe someone got too comfortable and almost, took advantage or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that happens off and on all the time. You just have to kind of bat them back down and say, stop it. We mm-hmm. had drama like you would not believe.
We could be a reality show. We really could.
Yeah, we really could. And you just have to learn how to contain it, and you pick your poison. You know, is this worth it for me to get into the middle of, or am I just going to let it self play out? I tell people this all the time. It's like having a bunch of teenagers at a daycare. You have to get onto them. You have to guide them, but they're adults. They can make their own decisions, but I don't like what you're wearing. Don't borrow your sister's stuff. Clean your room. Be on time. And you're always going after
Stop
them.
Stop tattling on this person.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy sometimes. Yeah.
That's funny though. I mean, I'm sure at that state, it's kind of funny at this point, right? Whenever things like that.
I'll call Mona. I'll say, you're just not gonna believe the shit.
I don't really drink that much, but she's like, okay, I need to have champagne and we need to talk about what's going on at the day spa.
You know who I was thinking of just the other day? I don't think, we told this story way early in the podcast. What was her name? The German lady who was the front desk?
I don't forget.
And fuck this place and fuck Lyric too. And Ramona's like, I'm so sorry.
You feel that way. And that's what I kept telling her, because I really just, I wanted her to quit rather than me fire her, because then I don't have to deal with unemployment.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
She was a bad bitch.
She was a bad bitch. Because she thought, because once you have a spa director, a Lyric Store spa director, once you have one that's fantastic, you do whatever you need to keep him.
Oh, yeah.
He's the most important person there. He's more important than us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really is.
No. I can find a new husband. I've done that, but I can't find a new Lyric.
100%. Is there, what maybe, you talked a little bit about, you guys use a couple tools as far as client retention and reaching people, exclusive things.
Demand force. Oh my, it's expensive.
And every business should have it.
Every business that does appointment-based businesses needs demand force.
It's an Intuit product.
They were built by Intuit, but they got sold by Intuit. But,
Manforce.
So it's an email system. So it helps you send out emails to your clients. It helps send out reminder texts. It helps send out reminder emails. But the most important thing it does, remember we talked about testimonials?
Yes.
It automatically, because we have the Millennium Suite, that's what we use as our booking software. It knows when we bring out someone in Millennium, it instantly sends them an email, review us. And then it sends other things.
And they're unbiased. They won't allow us to pull bad review off. Unless we can prove that there's no reason for it. It shouldn't be there. But, and I don't mean this client shouldn't say that kind of stuff about us. No, that stays on there.
No, true slander, true libel. But what's great about it too is that they come up, they have this, and it's great for salons. They have different images you can use, and they already come up with templates for campaigns. Yeah. So you can segment your clients, which is incredibly important. We have a free email guide that we give out on spapreneur.com, and we call it the one email you need to fill your appointment books. Every week we send an email for any of our therapists that have any open spots, but we only send it to people they've seen.
Yeah.
So that the whole, it's not sitting out to the blanket, and and that is huge. It gets, again, you got to do these things, and that's why it's so important to have that time to work on it, but you need to have the right kind of tools. So I love Demandforce. If you can't afford Demandforce, there is something called ReviewWire. I haven't personally checked it out, but it will do the reviews, but you have to kind of jerry-rig it. I like something that has everything included, so we really, it's worth the money demand for us. The other thing is, we do use Salon Clouds for our website and our app. I'll be honest with you, though, I'm not
frustrated.
Recommend it.
Not yet. They may get their act together one day. I'm very, very, very
It was not a good experience. SpaBoom is a great company. If you're just starting out, you want a really good website.
Yeah, and they feel marketing. Small to me, so they feel like they care a little bit more. once Salon Clouds got hold of me and they did what they thought they should do, they dropped me like a hot potato, and now I'm sort of stuck with what I got.
And it's a shame because we have a platform that reaches a lot of people that could buy their product, but we can't recommend it. But Spa Boom is another really good product for salons or day spas. Because, again, the websites are really easy to use. They've got a really good team, and they've got a whole marketing suite in there, too, as well. So a lot of good things.
Let me point out to you that Ramona did all of this in my business. This is when I left to stay with my mother for over a year. And this is when Ramona took over, and my husband and I were going, oh, my God, you're spending how much money a month? Now I said, and it really wasn't that much money, but we weren't accustomed to paying a monthly fee for these kind of things. Now I demand that, oh, hell no, we're not getting rid of that. No, demand force out of everything we've ever done is our number one biggest driver. I mean, the number one. So if you could only invest in one thing, I'd have to pick demand force.
Yeah, because it covers so many things you're going to need, and it's designed for appointment
based. But you got to do your job on it.
Yeah, you got to use the tools. Yeah, you have to use the
tools. Remember when you first started with them and they called you saying, how are you getting all these reviews?
I'm like, because I'm using them.
Yeah.
Because I actually use the system. And we're actually one of, you know, they call us and they use us as a case study, De-Stress Express, even before we had Spapreneur, just because we use it so often. So, and these are things, like, if you want to know more about email marketing, I'll pitch myself a little bit. We have a great community that's a monthly fee that has, like, all these courses, and I do weekly calls, like I'm doing one tonight with my Spapreneurs, where you get to talk about your business with other people and, like, really get real answers, rather than going on to the internet and go, God knows who. So, you know, we do have that resource as well.
Yeah, awesome. Those are good. So you said DemandForce, ReviewWire, and Spa Boom are three, like, rockstar.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Super cool. And maybe as we're wrapping up here, what would maybe be just a couple tips as far as, like, business development? Maybe two or three real points that would be most important as far as when you're really looking to develop as a business rather than just a service provider.
The first thing is you have to decide that you're a business owner and not an employee. You cannot treat yourself like an employee in your business. You have to be the business owner, which means you think differently, you act differently. And that may mean, again, like we said earlier, less time behind the chair or the table. That's number one. Number two is you need to spend your free time developing yourself as a business. You need to be reading business books or listening to them on Audible, listen to podcasts that help with your business development, because you have to be strong in your own convictions. And then the third thing is you do have to take time weekly to resharpen the saw. So we told Jordan that he needs to, you know, take a break with his girlfriend. We call it beer clock, but you have to take the time, whether it's worshiping, you know, if you're religious, or, you know, you go get a massage somewhere, you know, get your hair done somewhere else. You have to remind yourself what it's like to be a client. You have to resharpen yourself. You cannot work all the time. Though in the beginning, you need to work a lot of the time.
Yeah. But you do have to shut down and regenerate yourself.
Yeah.
I can completely agree. I think, you know, the days after that I do take a break are the days I'm the most productive, you know, because you just
absolutely
need to, you know, turn things off for a little bit, relax and do something fun.
And
then again, right? So yeah, I completely agree. So
what do you say? Well, I, one thing that flashed in my mind earlier in this interview, and it still sticks with me, is be willing to fail, be willing to jump out there and do your best. And you might fall off at first, but climb back up and try it a different way. You learn that way. You learn the hard way in many ways, and it's okay, because there's no one out there that can do it all and has it all and magically makes things happen. So be willing to fail at it and just pick yourself back up and ask your mentoring team, you know, where did I go wrong on this one? How can I make it better?
And track your results, good or bad. Track those numbers, especially the first couple of years, and say, okay, you know, I was working with a spapreneur last week, and when she started out her day spa business, she had 14 appointments a week for her and her team. This year she had 60. And she's like, oh my God, that's a 200% increase. And I said, how does that feel? She goes, I thought 60 was too low, but wow, look at what we've done. And when you do that, you have to celebrate small wins. It's funny, when you have a small child or a small puppy, the first time they do something, you're so excited the first time they walk or laugh or giggle, but then we take it for granted. You have to, no matter how big you get, kind of go look at the numbers comparison or look at what you're doing and go, look at what I've done.
Sometimes I just stand in my lobby and look around and think, how the hell did we get here?
Yeah. And that's okay. You have to celebrate the small wins. We all focus on these big wins. I want to get to six figures. I want to be sassy, and I want to take 3 weeks out for France. Well, that took 25 years of working to get there.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's awesome. I mean, it does happen so fast when you kind of put your head down and get into the routines of putting in the work, but also time for yourself and making that balance kind of flow together. Right. And so mm-hmm. I can completely relate and agree to that too. Obviously, you guys have been in the game a lot longer than myself, but I can completely agree already. Because when you talked about mentors too, I think that's the number one thing.
It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, we reverse engineered and learned from, and, you know, that's honestly what we're really looking to do as far as these interviews and things like that is really like, we are very accustomed to attracting and getting clients, client retention and things like that for business owners and beauty service providers, as well as business owners and female entrepreneurs as well. But we have never been inside the business. Right. And so the only way we can learn that is talking to people who have, and, you know, getting their tips and asking our questions personally too, as well as kind of, you know, doing a little research in the area, right? Because that's really all it comes down to is doing your homework and learning from someone who's done what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
So how do you find a mentorship group, or how would someone who's looking for that maybe go about looking for the right person? Because I know there's a lot of gurus out there that you don't want to get.
We're open. Hi, join the Spotpreneur community.
I gotta say that I wish I'd had this kind of thing when I started out, but I also joined the Chamber of Commerce. Yep. And they're very business oriented.
Find your small business association, because they have people that are there that will mentor you on how to do like a business budget, a business plan. I don't care what people say. Business plans are still incredibly important. So number one, do that. You want to surround yourself by people who are more successful than you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
You really do. You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So if you're hanging out with people who are still working at 9 to 5 and are kind of losers, you're going to be a loser. So you need to upgrade your circle, which means you may have to lose some friends. That's okay. But you have to decide yourself, what's going to be more important, my successful business or me hanging with the crew?
And mine was odd. Mine was my landlord. I had my husband who, even though he's family, he knows his numbers, but I kind of kept him a little bit at bay because he put together my business plan. But I also had like someone who owned a restaurant that was very successful. That's the people business. See, I'm in the people business, so I was looking for people in the people business. Mm-hmm. And one of my clients was a human resources person. Mm-hmm. So when she'd lay on the table, I'd pluck her brain about different things. And so my mentoring team has sort of shifted around over the years. I still have a few people that if I really need some answers, I call them. I'm at a point where I don't have as much of a mentoring team. I tend to go to my group that works there now and say, let's collaborate together. Let's get some answers together here. And being truthful, the more I do this podcast with Ramona, the more I'm reminded of things I need to go back and do.
Yeah.
So I do utilize this as one of my tools.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question I have for you before we wrap things up, what's maybe the number one tip that maybe you could give as far as what's been the most efficient way to retain those clients that you really that you want there, right? And not really retain anybody and everybody, but what do you really do to really personalize things and keep it so that you know it really is builds that relationship? Do you rely a lot on the fact that you guys do a lot of the you know, follow-ups and things like that digitally?
Nope.
Or do you
you have to ask them to come back in.
Yeah,
that's the number one thing. You have to give them a very specific reason to come back in. So here's the sequence, guys. This is not hard. If all of you do this, you really don't need me. This is what you do when they get off your table or out of your hair. Okay, I noticed that you this and this is work on. So with massage therapists, it's really easy. Your shoulder's really tight. If you come back to me 2 or 3 more sessions, it's going to help. Now, we don't know if it's going to fix it. Notice I didn't say fix, because we don't know how long it's going to take to fix, because the clients do weird things with their bodies, you know, when they're out and about. I have next Tuesday open at 1:00. Is that good for you? Give them yes or no questions. And then that's it. And then you shut up and you let them say yes or no. And if they say no, okay, great. Is there another time next week that works for you? And that's more of an open-ended question. I'm like, no, okay, well then do you mind if I give you a call later in the week to see how is it going? And then you call them and see how it's going. You know, you have to remind them sometimes they're in pain. You have to remind them sometimes they have split ends. You have to crush that pressure point on them, but you have to ask, and you have to ask before they leave your building. Yeah. It's not enough just to say, I'll see you next time. No, you specifically go, you need to come in this time. If you're a hairstylist, you tell them when to come in. You don't give them the option. You need to come back in 6 weeks so I can make your hair look great.
We're going to revisit this. Mona didn't know this, but in our next recording, which we're going to do on Thursday, we're actually going to use this because I got a funny story to relate to her that I can't tell her now. No. I like to get her honest reactions on the
hilarious.
Well, this one isn't so funny. But no, it's not like the poo-poo lady.
Oh, God.
But we're going to revisit this whole thing again because you do have to ask them to come back.
Yeah. And you have to remember that you're the expert. No matter how inexperienced you are, in this situation, you are the expert. You tell them when to come back. You say who, you say when, you say how much. You have to be your own pimp.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to. Absolutely. And you can't be shy about it. Because if you're shy about it, guess what's going to happen? They're going to go to somebody else because you didn't tell them when to come back in. Clients want to be invited back in. Clients want to be told what to do. Yeah. Don't give them too many options. Tell them when to come back. You're going to come back at this time.
People just get too nervous, I think. I don't know why, but like if you rely on them to come back to you, you're never going to.
Or it's going to be like when their hair is like, you know, this much root grow out. No one needs that. That's ugly.
I think like follow-up is one of the number one things that we preach, and you can automize it to like a standpoint, but the personal touch is never going to like, I mean, you have to do it. Like you have to build the relationship with that person and you know, let them
dentist,
know.
Yeah, if your dentist can ask you what you're to schedule an appointment 6 months from now, you can certainly do it for 6 weeks from now.
Yeah. We don't even think about it. We just do it.
Yeah. Don't give them an option.
Exactly.
Tell them you're going to come back in 6 weeks.
Yeah. It really does take them to come back probably like 2, 3, 4, 5 times before they really turn into that lifetime customer too.
Six times for us. Yeah. That's when we know. Six times.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
Well, and if you're not comfortable with asking someone or letting someone know they need to come back in, then you practice that.
Yeah.
That's an old actor's type of thing. You look at yourself in the mirror and you practice it.
You make a script.
God knows, as little girls, we would stand there with the brush and we'd sing and we had the Oscar speech
in our hands.
You know, then you need to do the same thing to make yourself believable.
Grab a buddy if you need to do it with somebody.
I mean, it sounds stupid, but it's true.
The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you guys so much. I know we've been talking for a little bit. It's been over an hour now. You guys have been awesome. I think there's, like, anyone who's watching this should probably go back and listen to a lot of the bombs you guys dropped. I mean, it's very, very useful. I mean, I think it's going to help a lot of people. But a little bit about you guys. So Spapreneur, it's a community to kind of help independent spa owners grow, scale, and succeed in their business. You guys have run your spa for about 23 years, you said.
Yep.
Awesome. Well veteran in the space, and you've kind of gone from not using any, you know, digital technology and growing the business to now like really finding out what works. And so I'm sure anyone who has any questions on that can definitely reach out to you guys.
Please do so. We love asking questions. So
I'll be drinking.
That's true.
You can pop in and give some, just drop a bomb.
Every now and then I do. Every now and then I'm like, hey!
Oh my God, they love it when she's on. They're like, oh my God, Session
doesn't live here anymore. No, so I can't do that.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. We have to arrange these things now.
Well, I'm sure that everyone who may be watching this, you've probably got a ton of value here. If not, go watch it again. I mean, I was taking notes this whole time, so everyone else should be too. Basically we talked about growing, scaling, managing, marketing for your beauty business, a lot in between. And really, I think talking about your story, how you didn't really expect things to be where they're at now at all. It was kind of just, you put your head down, you put your head up, relax a little bit, you put your head down. Yeah, you just go through, the motion.
Kept working. That we just kept doing what we do, what we love, and you do what you love, and it'll happen.
It just kind of grows, but you can't force it. As she has always told me this since I was a little girl, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Number one, you cannot count on that. But number two, don't force a door open.
Yeah, wait till the door opens
easily, and then when you're in the right place, right time, it's amazing. It feels like magic. Things magically come around. She was in the right place, right time, and then every other move we've made, right place, right time, because we've been patient with it. You can't force it, and there's no such thing as overnight success. It's just not possible. So instead, put your head down, get to work.
Yeah.
Yep.
And real quick, so anyone who wants to know a little bit more about Spapreneur, you guys have the podcast, but you guys also do a lot of other things. If you could kind of concise it up, how does it specifically help people? I guess maintain their sanity, but also be able to you know, figured things out along the way as far as the inside marketing strategies and things like that.
Sure. So we're actually business consultant primarily. So what we do is we help build your business plan for your actual, we focus on day spas. We will gladly take hairstylists, but we never talk really about modalities or treatments, things like that. I don't do that. Instead, we're talking about money management, systems and processes, marketing, mindset, employees, you know, tax things, you know, all that stuff that is really scary. That's the kind of stuff we talk about. We have everything from like how to be a really good copywriter to, again, you know, we are about to do a live event in DC next month where we're planning out an entire year for the people who are attending. So we really focus on the business side of your business, not when you're in the rooms itself. Now we will talk about business aspects in the room, but pretty much we're talking about working on your business, not in your business.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what a lot of people need to learn from, because I mean, you just said you kept working. You got to work on the business, not like just on your clients all the time, right?
Or you got to have a daughter like Ramona.
There you go. That's the number one tip of the day, right?
Just hire Ramona. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. If you guys want to check out Ramona and Lynn, just go to check them out, spotpreneur.com, right? And you can also find them on the podcast. Basically, I think we kind of covered everything we needed to talk about today. You guys answered a lot of good questions. We talked about growing, managing, scaling, everything in between, and the little tips along the way. So anyone who needs, you know, some actual inside consulting and things like that, reach out to these guys here. They know what they're doing, right? Any success stories that you guys could had that maybe took someone from A to B?
Yeah, a couple. Earlier this year, I've had several. One hired her first employee. Another one escaped massage envy 4.5 years before her plan, because some have made more money in the first 6 months of 2018 than they did in 2017. What?
I was going to say, and one was going to get out of the business because it was getting too hard, and now is in the business and thriving.
Yeah.
So
I've had people who have done our free stuff and retired their husbands. We just recently found that out. I mean, it's incredible. But it comes back to, you know, a lot of you have amazing talent. It's just, unfortunately, you know, beauty schools and massage schools don't have the time to teach you the business stuff. So you have to do that on your own. And that's what we're here for.
Awesome. We'll love it. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. I know, Lynn, you're super busy. I didn't know if you'd be here or not, so we're so happy you did. You kept things raw and real and fun and interesting. And Ramona, thank you again for your guys' time. I hope we can stay in touch as well.
Absolutely.
I would love to ask you some questions that I personally have too, since we're kind of shifting to that consulting side as well. Sure. And really looking to kind of help people with the inside is growing and scaling, you know, because there are a lot of, you know, systems and processes and things like that, not even technologically, you know, but things that you can be doing every single day that are going to really get the snowball, you know, rolling it up, and so it can be a big ball, get that ball up to the hill, and then it'll start tumbling down, right? Which I'm sure that's where you guys are at right now. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.